Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Friday, 17th December 2021, and joining Lee to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Simon Mays, director of MUFG's Global Customer Marketing Group for EMEA in London. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Good afternoon, Lee. Great to have you here.
Hi, Simon.
Well, what a week it's been. With plenty of focus on central bank action and guidance. We saw the Fed and the Bank of England shift to a more hawkish stance this week. So what are your thoughts for the FX markets after these key events?
That's right, Simon. Yeah, we've certainly gone through the kind of last kind of big event risks for markets as we head into the year-end period. And certainly, I think as we've seen from the Bank of England and the Fed over the past week, they certainly have delivered a clear message to markets now that they have now kind of reached their limits in terms of tolerating this period of higher inflation. Obviously, initially, they were saying this was just a transitory phenomenon, but they've kind of abandoned that view now, and they're now signaling very clearly to markets that they just can't tolerate further upside surprises going forward, and they feel that they now have to act to tighten policy and dampen risks to inflation going forward. So I think a very similar message from the Fed and the Bank of England there. The Fed signaling to markets that they're going to deliver more front-loaded tightening, so double the pace of their QE tapering program. So the QE program is now due to end one quarter earlier than expected in March of next year. And then after that, signaling that they're planning to raise rates three times next year, which is a step up from what we saw back in September. But I think for markets, the reaction has been fairly limited, both in the kind of short end of the US rate curve and also the dollar reaction. And I think partly that reflects the fact that the US rate market and the dollar had already moved a lot over the last month or two to price in a faster pace of tightening from the Fed. So really what the Fed did this week was really just kind of marking their own forecasts into line with market expectations. And then there was also an element there as well of some relief, I think, that the Fed wasn't even more hawkish. I mean, there certainly was scope for them to raise rates more aggressively in the kind of following years, say 2023 to 2024. Those rate forecasts still look relatively low compared to the Fed's kind of own estimate of the neutral policy rate at 2.5%. So the Fed is still saying that by the end of 2024, in 3 years' time, that the policy rate is still going to be just over 2%, which is still saying that they're still expecting to keep neutral policy in place for the foreseeable future. They're still looking to keep loose policy in place for the foreseeable future. So I think that's somewhat inconsistent with the view that they really want to get inflation back under control. But obviously, at this point in time, they weren't willing to send out an even more hawkish policy message of the need for even higher rates further out in the future. So I think there's an element of relief there, and I think that's why the dollar hasn't really strengthened significantly on the back of this hawkish policy update from the Fed. And then obviously as well, we had a similar message from the Bank of England. They felt that inflation pressures were just so elevated at this point. They're now expecting inflation to peak at close to 6% early next year, which is what, three times higher than their target, that the situation was so worrying for them that they didn't feel that they could really wait until February, when they would have more certainty over the economic impact of this new Omicron COVID variant on the economy. So message, like I say, very clear. They've started to raise rates, and we think unless there's a significant negative impact on the economy, they could be in a position to raise rates again at the February meeting. And we would think certainly the possibility of at least 2 to 3 rate hikes next year is certainly feasible from the Bank of England. And they'll obviously as well be looking to tighten policy through shrinking their balance sheet as well next year.
Yes, it's interesting what you said there about the market reaction to the Fed and Bank of England meetings. So we had the ECB and Bank of Japan meetings also this week, and they didn't really follow suit, remaining pretty cautious at their meetings. But we're not really seeing any obvious divergence yet in the FX markets post those meetings. So do you think that's due to this, what you mentioned before, or is there any obvious sort of domestic factors playing into that?
Yeah, I think when you think of the euro, it initially did stage a modest rebound after the ECB policy update. So I think on that side of things, there was some kind of relief that, or surprise that the ECB wasn't even more dovish this week. I think we thought that they would end the PEP emergency purchase program in March of next year, but there was certainly a little bit more uncertainty about whether they would kind of follow through with those plans, given the negative COVID situation we've seen recently. So could argue at the margin that could have been seen as a little bit more hawkish, that they did decide to kind of give a clear signal that is going to end in March of next year. And then beyond there as well, if you look at the other QE program, the asset purchase program, they did send a kind of clear signal that will continue throughout most, if not all, of next year, and that they will step up the pace of purchases under that asset purchase program to double the amount, 40 billion per month in Q2 of next year, and then that will gradually move back down to 30 billion in Q3, and then revert back to the current rate of 20 billion in Q4 of next year. So obviously the overall kind of policy stance for the ECB next year is that yes, overall, that the size of their QE purchases will slow quite considerably once the PEP program starts to wind to come to an end. But that will be kind of partially offset by the step up in asset purchase program purchases during Q2 and Q3 of next year. So there is still a tightening of policy next year from the ECB. Certainly a tapering of QE is going to take place. But I think from a kind of relative perspective, you're still talking about the ECB being kind of a laggard in terms of tightening policy compared to other major central banks like the Bank of England and the Fed. Obviously, the Fed and the Bank of England will soon be ending their own QE programs and will be raising rates next year. So the fact that the ECB is still going to be carrying out QE throughout all of next year definitely kind of differentiates the ECB on the more dovish side. And we still think that's a key reason why the euro has already kind of weakened considerably over the last couple of months to reach very low levels right now against the dollar. So we don't see that dynamic really changing in the very, very near term. It could start to become more interesting in terms of euro price action as we head through next year, and perhaps towards the middle to second half of next year, because the other element of the policy update from the ECB this week was the upgrade that we saw to the inflation forecasts. So those inflation forecasts obviously showed higher inflation in the near term, but also they did revise up their forecast for inflation in the following years as well. So the inflation forecasts now see inflation kind of coming back below target, so still signaling that they're not looking to raise rates next year. But those inflation forecasts for 2023 onwards are now much closer to their inflation target of around 1.8% over that period. So it's close enough there that it does signal more concern from the ECB that the balance of risks to inflation is starting to shift more to the upside. So even the ECB are starting to sound more caution over the inflationary story that we've seen playing out. And it wouldn't take much necessarily next year. If inflation does continue to surprise to the upside during the first half of next year, then further upside revisions to those inflation forecasts further out could start to then make the ECB think about more seriously raising rates from, say, 2023 onwards. And I think if the Eurozone rate market started to anticipate that as we move through next year, that could come back as more of a euro positive story. I still think, though, at this stage, it's too early, really, for that to kind of play out and trigger a more sustained reversal of this kind of weaker trend we've seen for the euro. But there is the potential there further down the line next year that things could start to turn more in the euro's favour.
Thanks, Lee. So just finally then, now that the key central bank meetings are out of the way, what do you think the market participants should be watching out for heading into the Christmas holidays next week?
Yeah, like, this is obviously going to be a more quiet period. Normally, it's certainly kind of less liquid trading conditions. So you do see periods where kind of FX rates can diverge more from fundamentals over this kind of holiday period. So that's certainly something to watch out for. What normally happens is that markets tend to kind of normalize in the January period when people start to return to their desks. So if we do see any kind of outsized moves over the next couple of weeks, we would expect that to reverse quite quickly in early January. But in terms of obviously market focus really for the next couple of weeks, the focus is going to be on the latest kind of COVID developments we see globally. We're still obviously monitoring very closely to see how this new Omicron COVID variant, how that spreads. Obviously, the initial indications are that it's going to spread very rapidly globally, and that will potentially put more pressure on governments to reimpose restrictions. So we'll be looking out for those kind of announcements in the coming weeks. And then obviously on the kind of economic data front events next week, it's a fairly quiet calendar. I think one focus that we could see markets kind of attention looking at is the release of the latest minutes from the RBA's meeting from earlier this month. Those minutes could give kind of more clarity over RBA's kind of thinking in terms of what they're thinking about doing in terms of policy when they meet at their next meeting in February. At the moment, there's certainly building speculation that the RBA could follow the likes of the Bank of England and the Fed and announce plans to speed up the pace of their tightening policy going forward at the February meeting. So we'll be looking to see if those minutes give any indication that they are potentially thinking about even ending their QE program prematurely at the February meeting. So I think that's certainly helping to support the Australian dollar. It's certainly been one of the better performers so far this month. So that does pose some further upside potential for the Aussie dollar next week. And then the other kind of risk to watch out for and monitor over the holiday period as well is just the ongoing risk of the potential for geopolitical tensions to continue to build between Russia and the West. There's obviously been warnings that Russia is seriously considering potentially invading the Ukraine again in the next month or so. So that's obviously something which potentially could blow up over the holiday period and could lead to kind of even bigger moves in the Russian markets and the ruble. So that's another risk to keep an eye on as well over this kind of holiday period.
Great. Thank you very much for your time, Lee. And as this is the last podcast of 2021, I'd like to wish you and all of our listeners a happy holiday and a new year as well. So see you all in 2022.
Thanks, Simon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next year for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.